Hi, this is Nick with the Family Gamers with Randy Hoyt from Foxtrot Games. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
So what's been the most exciting part of Gen Con for you so far this weekend?
Well, we've been demoing Spy Club a lot, so we sold out on Thursday, which was great news.
Oh, congratulations.
Sell out just right off the bat.
Awesome.
And we've been just showing it to people and just seeing the response. People just loving it, getting into the storytelling, really puzzling over their actions. It's just so much fun to see a game you work on for so long finally get in the hands of people and see them having a good time.
Awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the game for folks that may not have an opportunity to have played it yet.
Yeah, so Spy Club is a cooperative game, 2 to 4 players, takes about 45 minutes to play. You're playing junior detectives solving neighborhood mysteries. So think like Encyclopedia Brown or Harry the Spy, that kind of a vibe. Through the game, you're doing hand management and set collection to try to solve different aspects of the mystery. So there's an object involved, a location of the person who committed the crime, the motive, and the crime itself. And every few turns, you'll solve one of these, and a story will start to emerge. So you might find out that your neighbor did something, and then, oh, it's at the ice cream shop. Oh, there was a theft. What did she steal, and why did she do it? And so these are the things, the story that emerges as you play. You've got actions that you're trying to puzzle over, manipulating your hands, trading cards, that kind of thing. And then it has this cool campaign element to it. So you can play a single standalone game, or you can play a 5-game campaign.
Right.
And each time you finish a game, you'll unlock some new content. So, five, six cards from the campaign deck will give you a new module. So the second game will have some new scenario or some new objective, character powers, equipment, obstacles, those kinds of things. And you'll play a whole campaign, you'll unlock 4 new modules. And then when you're done, you can reset it all, and you'll put those 4 modules back. But it comes with 40 modules total.
Okay.
So every time you play a campaign, you'll be finding new things, new stories. And your first campaign will be different than my first campaign, because we'll be unlocking new things. And even after that, all of the modules are replayable. None of them have set solutions that would make it so that you can't even play. So even after 10 campaigns, you can still keep playing it, and they'll come out in different orders, and new stories will continue to emerge every campaign.
Okay. So for folks that aren't familiar with like campaign style games, can you kind of describe like what a module is and how it kind of interplays with the game?
Yeah, so in the core game, you've got to find 5 aspects and you solve them each by getting 5 cards that match into the center, sort of standard set collection stuff. Well, in some of the modules, you may find a new way to solve one of the aspects. So can we give spoilers here?
It's up to you.
So like in one module, you might find, oh, there's a suspect who's been running around inside of a cave. And so now the way you solve the suspect in this aspect is not by getting 5 purple cards into the middle. It's by running through this map of this cave and doing something different than what the normal set collection would be.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So where'd the kind of the inspiration for this game come from?
Well, there's two things on the theme, you know, growing up with Encyclopedia Brown, Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys, those kinds of things. Those are really important stories for me and my co-designer, Jason Kingsley. And we both have kids who are now reading new kid detective stories. You know, whenever we show the game to grown-ups, they're like, oh, this is like these old stories.
Right.
Well, there's new stories just like this, too. So my kids are into A to Z mysteries, and those are by Ron Roy. Those are really fun, and they really capture the episodic nature that there's a series of these books, and sometimes they meet new characters who come in and help with a case, or the recurring character shows up in story 10 and 12, so they have a nice episodic feel that we tried to mimic with the campaign game. And then mechanically, looking at the trend in legacy games, you know, there's more and more legacy games coming out. And people trying to do them in a resettable way. And when you look at legacy games, people always talk about narrative in games, and that is a big thing. And so we wanted to push forward the idea of narrative to where it's not just the game designer is telling you a story, but that the story is emerging. And so just from the core aspect where you figure out it's the neighbor of the ice cream shop and for love, and you've got to kind of piece together your own story, we wanted that to evolve over a campaign too. So we have these story elements like the hidden cave and like plenty of other things, but the way it all interacts and weaves together, it's evoking this narrative that it's leading the players to tell. One of the things that impressed me most when I was studying literature is that so many authors talk about their stories not as things they created, but as things they discover. As you get into it, it just sort of telling a story, it sort of snaps together and it feels almost like it already existed. And our players have that similar experience. There's so many times where the players will be like, oh, I know what it is. Like it's a thing that's already existing, and they see how it locks together. And those moments of creativity are really, really fun. And we wanted to push on the idea of legacy, that instead of the game telling you a story, that it's emerging, and we wanted it to be just not scripted, and we wanted to try to see how we could get stories to emerge in different ways, how it could be resettable, how even if two people played 10 campaigns, they would still have very different experiences. So it was pushing on that, both the story and the mechanics of the legacy system, and seeing what else we could try to do with it.
Oh, very cool. So is Spy Club going to be available soon for people to buy?
Yeah, it's already out in stores, so you can get it at your local game store or on the website. We sell through Renegade Games. So if you go to renegadegamestudios.com and click on Spy Club, you can order it there. And it's also in your online or your local game stores.
Okay, and then what else do you guys have coming out in the near future here that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, we don't have anything ready to announce yet. Okay. But we are playtesting a couple of games in the First Exposure Playtest Hall at Gen Con. We've had a lot of good experiences in there over the years. So for the last few years, we had Spy Club there last year. We had World's Fair there. Fox in the Forest was there a couple of years ago. Even Lanterns we had in the First Exposure Playtest Hall 3 or 4 years ago.
Lanterns is one of my favorites.
Yeah, so...
That's a family-friendly one that we play with. I have two young kids myself, my daughter regularly kills me at it.
Yeah, so all of our big games we've run through there at Gen Con. It's just been a really great experience over the years now, running games through there.
Awesome. All right, and I have a little bit of an admission here. So I am new to trick-taking games. I played my very first trick-taking game on vacation about 2 weeks ago. I'm not a big, standard card kind of player my family laughs at me, it's got to have theme. I got to have theme when I play something. Yeah. Just like a boring 52, card deck of cards, I stare at it.
Yeah.
So knowing that you guys have a trick-taking game, right?
Yeah, The Fox in the Forest is our trick-taking game. So I grew up playing... I love all the playing cards. One of the first things I programmed as a kid when I learned computer programming was I hand drew pixel by pixel all the face cards so I could make my own games. I love playing cards and just all the different icons and the different face cards. So, yeah, I've wanted to do a game that sort of felt like a classic card game for a while now. So Fox and the Force is a two-player trick-taking game, which there are not a lot of two-player trick-taking games. A lot of what makes trick-taking interesting requires a partner or more players or a lot of less information.
Right.
So when working on this two-player trick-taking game, it has a fairy tale theme. It's a light theme on top of it, but all the odd cards are face cards that have powers, and they're characters you might find in a fairy tale, like a witch, a fox, a woodcutter, these kinds of things. And so the two mechanics that really make it work with two players are, first, those special abilities, so that you can manipulate your hand more. So when you look at your hand, you don't really have a good hand or a bad hand. Most hands are flexible as far as how you can manipulate the card. So like the fox, if you play it, lets you change the trump suit with a card from your hand. So you swap it out, and now all of a sudden a different suit is really powerful. Then the five lets you draw an extra card and then discard, so you can kind of be cycling things through your hand.
Oh, okay.
The swan is the one. If you play the swan and lose the trick, you still get to lead the next trick. So it's not just, throw away your lowest losing card. The other thing that really works is the scoring. So the goal of the game is to win the most tricks, but not too many. If you go too many, you sort of push over the edge. You become greedy in the fairy tale language. So you're trying to get either 7 to 9 out of the 13. So you want the majority, or you want to go low and go humble and get 0 to 3. So every hand you pick up, you're like, this is bad. Oh, but it's so bad, it's good now. And if you pick up a strong hand, you're like, well, I could probably win 10 or 11 of these tricks, but I got to try to not get a few of these. So you might be throwing away tricks that normally you try to win to try to get yours, swap out the trump suit to something you don't have, just so you don't keep taking too many. So the back and forth of that, players have described as trying to thread that needle between 7 and 9 tricks to keep from busting. And so it's constant tension and pressure, even from the first trick. The first trick, you're like, is this going to be my 10th trick that's going to bust me? Even from the very beginning. So.
Oh, very cool. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm new to trick-taking games, but I think you kind of sold me there. Especially it's got a little bit of a theme flavor to it.
It might have just enough theme for you. Nice.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, that's the big thing. We're just having a great time at Gen Con running demos here and playtesting new games. I'm looking forward to, when this wraps up, getting back to work and getting these next few games ready to go.
Cool. And then where can we find you online?
You can find anything about the company at foxtrotgames.com or on Twitter or Facebook at Foxtrot Games. Or you can follow me personally at Randy Hoyt on Twitter and see the inner workings and the behind-the-scenes life of a part-time board game publisher.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great talking to you.
Thanks.